T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Her name is Stevie Nicks. By the way, this is a jam.
Let's not get carried away.
Oh, I love that song.
And she is your artist of the day. If you ever needed proof that God does exist and God does smile on me, Atari's newest console is now ready for pre-order.
Did you say Atari?
That's what I said. I said Atari. Wow.
What's an Atari?
I didn't know Atari was still around.
I think if you have an old one, like in mint condition,
get
or
your ass out.
You wouldn't have one still in the box, I don't think. But I bet you it's worth
something. You know, you can get an old school Atari down at Vintage Stock. They still sell it with the old game consoles.
Yeah.
Like, let me look for how much for a new Atari. I think if you have some of those original games, it is worth
why did
a
I
crazy
not save
money.
All these things when I was a kid? I'm like so dumb.
The original Pong
on
Atari? Yes, and like Defender and Space Invaders. I'm an idiot.
All right, here we go. There are three of them.
Dumbest.
Air Raid. You could sell that for $3,000.
Nobody bought Air Raid when it came out.
I know, I was going to say, that's not one of the ones that we had. Red Sea Crossing.
Never heard of it.
Went for $13,800. Birthday Mania. No. I don't remember that one
like,
either.
Get to the games we've heard of, like Defender and Space Invaders and Pong and
Tapper. Remember E.T.? We had that one and it was horrible.
Yes.
Where the little neck would go bop, 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 bop,
yeah,
bop.
And you had to fly over the moon. Stupid. Defender was my I would pay money right now to play one more game of Defender. Because that game was awesome.
Let me see. Let me look it up for you.
I bet it's not expensive. Like, everybody had Defender.
Okay, clean examples of the few last generation. No, I don't think that's what that is. That's too expensive. That's the Land Rover Defender. We're so old that when you Google Defender, you don't even get Defender. You
well,
get
Google,
Land Rover.
Google Atari Defender.
Atari Defender. It's going to be different than the Land Rover. I don't think if you just want to use one, it's that expensive.
I don't know. I'm going to play some sounds from it, though.
Oh, please don't. Do you know what we had? We had Journey. Do you remember Journey? Journey
that's
video
Defender.
Game.
Yes. Do you remember Defender?
Okay, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hang on. I just want to hear what it sounds like.
I found one for less than $10
Hang on
eBay.
There I haven't heard go. Defender in 30-something years. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. You just dropped it off. Boom. Got it. Boom. Yep. Dropped it off.
We were so easily entertained back then. Did
whatever.
You have
that's awesome.
Did you have the Journey one, Scott? I think, was it called maybe. Escape? Will Starrett?
I don't remember what it was called. I actually played the arcade version of it at a Retrocade in Arkansas a couple of years ago.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Wasn't sure. Galaga originally a Atari game?
Oh, that I don't know.
It was. It was called Journey Escape. Look it up. I want to hear the song. It would go dun, 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 dun.
Journey
It was a
Escape.
Really bad rendition of, which one of their songs?
Separate Ways, wasn't it?
No, it's not Separate Ways. Uh-uh.
Hang on. I gotta get through an ad. It's got 4 seconds left.
It's an excerpt from "Don't Stop Believin'."
Nice.
And it's so bad. And there were roadies in it.
What?
Roadies. They had roadies. You had to like
the
get
Journey
back
game.
To your band in the Journey game.
Hang on.
Well, human beings either.
That's
there.
It, that's
oh,
it.
Wait, somebody's commentating on it. I can't.
No, I just want to hear the song.
Yeah, I can't play that.
Yeah.
Let's see what this one's all about.
Oh, okay. Someone else just wrote in Pitfall.
Oh, Pitfall. Yeah, that was a good one. Here we go.
That's it.
What is that?
Oh, that's so
the
annoying.
Journey Escape game.
That's so annoying.
That's terrible.
That doesn't remind me of any Journey song ever.
Me neither.
Na, na, na.
Oh.
That is terrible.
Oh, no. I never had that game.
All I remember about Pitfall was you had to land on an alligator's head or by an alligator, and you couldn't be in it or you would die.
Sure there wasn't Frogger?
I also remember my brother, who was very early on a gamer before that word existed, and there was a competition with one of the dumb little games he played on Atari, and it said, Scott, if you get a high score, okay, mm-hmm. you take a photograph of the screen of your high score. Okay. And, you know, back then you had to take a physical roll of film to, like, I don't even remember where we did it. Like a film camera film store.
1 hour photo.
Yeah, like, I don't
Kodak
think they had
store.
That back yeah. in the 1980s.
Kodak store.
So you would go, and I remember he took a ton of pictures of his high score. Then you had to mail in the physical photo, and they would mail you a prize if you had the high score. And he was so sure he had the high score. We never heard back from the game.
All right. I want you to tell me what game this is.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah. That's Frogger.
Very good. Very good. All right.
I am a child of the 80s. You can give me any of them. I could probably get 60% of them.
Okay. Well, hang on. Let me see if you can get this one. It's a classic, by the way. Just so you know, I'm not doing any stupid stuff like...
Okay.
Journey Escape or whatever. I mean, that's stupid.
Na, na, na. I still remember that song. Oh, that's a... Bam, 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 bam. That's the one where you're down here and the bullets are going up there and you kill Space Invaders.
That is incorrect.
No! Oh, well.
No idea.
Is that Defender?
No.
Bam, 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 bam.
I didn't have video games in the house growing up, oh. so I'm bad at this stuff.
All right, first of all,
we used to fight over it.
I'm going to get to that in a second. It was Asteroids.
Thank you.
Why not?
My parents would not allow it.
Really?
Yes.
What was that all about? Were they afraid, like, the devil was going to come through the screen?
No, or? I think it was a case of, well, if you do that, we'll never get you away from playing the video games. So.
I played Atari, but we went outside a lot.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
I remember
that was
thinking,
not allowed.
Like gambling, Scott, I remember thinking, I like this a lot.
When was the last time you gambled?
Once this year for some charity thing at Harrah's. Maybe 3 months ago.
Do you resent your parents for that one, Will?
No, not really. I mean,
did you go over to friends' houses and play?
Sometimes, yeah, sometimes.
But your parents would not allow gaming in the house.
That is correct, yeah.
How old are you?
36.
Okay, so Nintendo would have been your game console of
absolutely.
Choice.
Yeah, yeah.
So we had the Atari, but I don't think we could afford the Nintendo, but we started to have friends who got the Nintendo, and we would go over there, Scott, and fight over whose turn it was next. Like, it's hard if you're listening and you're under the age of maybe like 30 to understand what a huge deal that was.
I don't think that's fair, because they have PlayStation, and what are some of the newer...
No, but this was the
Xbox.
First
Xbox.
Time.
Xbox,
yeah.
Of
like,
course,
when Atari
Xbox,
first
yeah.
came out... You can't even describe to somebody what a big deal that was. There was one game with a bat that would steal your key. I don't remember what that game was,
what?
But I was obsessed with it.
Bat?
Yes.
Like a flying
yes.
rodent bat?
Yes.
Oh.
And you would get things, and the bat would come steal it.
What?
I don't know. I just remember being mad at the bat.
The hell kind of games were you? I was playing Defender
was
and Pac-Man.
She was probably playing something on a ColecoVision and thought it was Atari.
Oh, that's
ColecoVision.
So right. Atari game. Look, tell me on the text line what that was called. A bat stole your key. Stand by.
All right.
Adventure. It was called Adventure the Secret Room. How did you not play Adventure on Atari?
Tell me the name of this game from Atari. You ready?
Okay. That's Pong.
That is not Pong.
boop, boop, boop.
Is it
Pac-Man?
No. I'll give you a hint, though. It's the first game that I'm aware of, and if I'm wrong, I apologize, that Mario appears in.
Oh. What was before Mario Brothers?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Donkey Kong?
It is.
Ah, I knew it!
Mm-hmm. Look, there he is.
Yeah, that's the old school.
Look at how simplistic these games
were. The graphics are terrible.
Horrible. Oh my God, the sound is going to drive me nuts.
If I had been your age, I would have invited you over to play Atari.
Thank you, Dana.
But I wasn't your age, so it would have been creepy had I invited you over to play Atari.
Will, if you were my age, I would have invited you over to drink beer and smoke weed, but...
Hey, right on.
And play Atari.
And play Atari.
I mean, we could still do that now.
He's not wrong.
Sorry. I've got
it. Did you just snort?
I didn't think it was that good. I thought it was funny. Apparently I didn't think it was that funny.
Will Sarah, Jason Getz, Danny Ryan, I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ. Thomas Dolby on a Tuesday throwback to the 80s. She blinded me with silence.
It's about as 80s of an 80s song you could get.
She blinded me with science.
I hated that song.
Great movie, though.
Okay.
What movie is it from?
Weird Science,
isn't
it?
That's right. Let me try to find one where it's not a video report.
Yeah, we've...
Jon Stewart from The Daily Show.
Oh, if you have not seen this today, it's all over social media. He has really been a powerful voice for the responders back then and today, all of them, firefighters, paramedics, police officers who responded to the World Trade Center pit on 9/11
mm-hmm.
because they are dying. So many of them are dying from respiratory illnesses, lung cancer. If you haven't seen the show where he... I think this was a couple of months ago I saw it.
Boy,
I think it was on
really
CNN,
aged.
Where he did an interview, let's say 2 or 3 years ago, with all of these first responders who were there and worked down in the hole that was the World Trade Center.
He's become an advocate for them.
He is. He, you know, had 4 or 5 of these men and women on the stage with him when he was talking about their ailments and the push to get funding mm-hmm. for their illnesses. And then... during the interview, they switched from that to today, and it was Jon Stewart next to maybe 4 empty chairs, and he was so angry, he said, do you know why these chairs are empty? It's because those people are no longer here. They have died. They have died while Congress has dragged its feet to fund and help these people who are now sick.
Former late night host and 9/11 first responders advocate Jon Stewart choked up today while slamming Congress over health care for responders to the September 11th terrorist attacks. Quoting here from Jon Stewart during a House Judiciary Committee hearing on reauthorizing the September 11th Victim Compensation Fund. Quote, as I sit here today, I can't help but think, what an incredible metaphor this room is for the entire process that getting health care and benefits for 9/11 first responders has come to. Many lawmakers on the House Judiciary Committee did not bother to show up for the hearing, leaving the committee room mostly empty, said Jon Stewart, and I quote, behind me, a room filled with 9/11 first responders. In front of me, an empty room of Congress. He slammed those absent members of Congress for disrespecting the personal sacrifice that former 9/11 first responders made to appear before them. Sick and dying. They brought themselves down here to speak to what? No one? Shameful. It is an embarrassment to this country. It is a stain on this institution. And you should be ashamed of yourselves for those that are not here. But you won't be. Because accountability doesn't appear to be something that occurs in this chamber.
The Justice Department said in February the Victims Compensation Fund is being depleted and benefit payments are being cut by up to 70%. And I'm curious, Scott, why? Are there more people sick and dying as they age and these respiratory illnesses catch up to them? There's no denying the reason these people are sick. There's no denying that. All of those men and women on the bucket brigade after the towers came down, Scott, I will look up the percentage of those who have severe life-altering illnesses.
Respiratory problems.
Since.
Because it's been, you want to know the truth?
Yes. Please tell me.
It's been 18 years and we forget. It's that simple.
But you understand the anger that everybody else moves on. And, you know, you're going to Target tonight. And we're all thinking about soccer and all of this other stuff. And if you have one of these life-altering illnesses, you're dealing with your decision to work that area every single day. With every breath that you take, you're dealing with that decision.
And because that has touched in the most horrific way your family. You know what never leaves my family? Vietnam. Ever. We still talk about it. We still talk about what it did to our family. I can only imagine what these people at 9/11 deal with on a daily basis. But guess what? Nobody on the House Judiciary Committee, few people in Congress, knew anybody who was really involved, knows anybody who's really sick, and they just stopped caring, Dana. We all did. And it's wrong.
I have the number, and I will give it to you when we come back. The number of those who have died since.
Good for John Stewart, by the way. Good on him. To remind us all what we've all forgotten. That's a jam.
Yes, it is.
And the year was 1983. On a Tuesday throwback to the 80s, The Police.
So I looked up some numbers. Someone on the text line just said they were moved to tears when they saw John Stewart today, real quick. The city, and this was within the last year, approached nearly 10,000 people suffering cancers linked to that toxic dust. In all, more than 1,700 responders and others affected have died. The majority of those from cancers. Right. And they talk about the aging population of some of those who volunteered and or were assigned to work that day. But even though it's an aging population and you might think, well, you know, a certain percentage of those in
would
that
population,
they'd be getting cancer anyway. They have done studies. It is a much higher percentage for anyone who was down there. And they list the different cancers. It's thyroid. It's melanoma. It is bladder cancer. Non-responders, so those who just worked or lived down there, also have significantly higher rates of breast cancer and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, leukemia, and other blood cell disorders as well.
Let me ask you, before I play John Stewart, let me ask you a question that came in on the text line, and you can respond or I can respond, whomever. Sure. They said this happened in New York City. Forgive me for asking, but should the federal government be on the hook for their health care, you know, their treatment, whatever, et cetera?
And I would argue it has to be. I mean, number one, it was a terrorist attack on our soil. Number two, any one state or city could not handle the enormous amount of cases and cost associated with the illnesses, which is why I think the federal government should be the one funding this.
I won't disagree with this.
You know, they interview in one of the NBC News stories a 21-year-old who had just become a firefighter. He said, I had just gotten out of the academy September 10th. I had no idea what I was doing. I had never been to a fire before. He joined the crowds of first responders, pawing through the chunks of building material, breathing in that pulverized dust, asbestos, lead, fibers. Everyone had a half inch of white paste on their face, he recalls. And now 17 years later, he and thousands of others are still paying for the time they spent. He says, I do remember thinking this is probably going to kill me. And he is suffering from the effects.
Well, and if I may, just to double up on what you just said, to paraphrase Jon Stewart today, the terrorists didn't say death to South Manhattan, death to Tribeca. They said death to America. Yeah. And this was the symbol of America, the World Trade Center, the symbol of our capitalistic society that they attacked. I would also point out that in the ensuing wars that followed, people have fought from every state in this union. Yeah. If and when they are injured, we don't bring them back and say, well, he was from Kansas, and so his medical bills are on the state of Kansas. No, his right. medical bills are on the federal government.
Right.
I would contend everything that happened to the World Trade Center that day was as much an act of war as anything that occurred on a battlefield
of
after
course.
That.
And there were people down there, Scott, who were not firefighters or police officers that worked for the city, that worked for the bus transportation service, who were assigned to go work down there. They needed people to go work down there. And, you know, those people are just as ill as the first responders that stood next to them in that pit.
Let me play a little clip from CNN here real quick. 576-7798.
There is not a person here, there is not an empty chair on that stage that didn't tweet out, never forget the heroes of 9/11. Never forget their bravery. Never forget what they did, what they gave to this country. Well, here they are. And where are they? And it would be one thing if their callous indifference and rank hypocrisy were benign, but it's not. Your indifference cost these men and women their most valuable commodity, time. It's the one thing they're running out of. This should be flipped. This hearing should be flipped. These men and women should be up on that stage, and Congress should be down here answering their questions as to why this is so damn hard and takes so damn long, and why no matter what they get, something's always pulled back and they got to come back. Mr. Johnson, you made a point earlier, and it was one that we have heard over and over again in these halls, and I couldn't help but to answer to it, which was, you said, look, you know, you guys are obviously heroes, and 9/11 was a big deal, but, you know, we have a lot of stuff here to do, and, you know, we got to make sure there's money for a variety of disasters, hurricanes and tornadoes, but this wasn't a hurricane, and this wasn't a tornado, and by the way, that's your job anyway. We can't fund these programs, you can. Setting aside that no American in this country should face financial ruin because of a health issue, certainly 9/11 first responders shouldn't have to decide whether to live or to have a place to live. And the idea that you can only give them 5 more years of the VCF because you're not quite sure what's going to happen 5 years from now, well, I can tell you, I'm pretty sure what's going to happen 5 years from now. More of these men and women are going to get sick, and they are going to die.
Former late night.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And keep in mind, Scott, a lot of the people who are ill cannot work. There's no income.
Good for him.
Oh, he's amazing.
Unbelievable. Mark in Pomona. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Good afternoon.
Hi, you Love texted. Thank you. You texted in that you were there. Can you tell us in what capacity and when?
I was, but I was there 3 months after the fact, and I went with the Salvation Army, and we provided support to all the firefighters and police officers and everyone else. So we provided food. We provided things, you know, around the area. So we were on all sides of the pit, if you will. We dealt with the people every single day. And I was only there a few weeks, but I used to have constant communications with the health department in New York wanting me to do various things, and they don't email or mail or send me anything anymore. Now, I'm 60 years old. I've got some respiratory problems, but they're nothing that anybody could attribute to that. But, you know, it's a shame that they're still not reaching out to all of the people that were there.
Do they know how to find you?
Yeah, nothing has changed.
Did you wear protection, Mark, by the time 3 weeks had passed? Did you go in with some type of respiratory protection?
No. No, we didn't, because we didn't actually go down into the pit. That was reserved for all the local firefighters, police officers, and response people there were locally. And so, yeah, no respiratory protection was provided or even requested for any of us who were just on the outskirts, if you will, of the area.
Mark, thank you for your time and your service, my friend. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Somebody writes in, I used to think John Stewart was a word I'm not going to say in the air.
He's wonderful.
I don't think so anymore, they write. Somebody also writes, look, I like John Stewart, and I'm not saying I disagree with him. I think that is very heartfelt, but why is a stand-up comedian all of a sudden representing our society? Would we take Bob Saget this seriously? He has always seemed like a political pawn to me.
Look to the president of the United States that you likely voted for, sir, was a reality TV guy.
Let me just simply say to this, John Stewart, I believe he is heartfelt. I believe his heart is in the right place.
And he is New York.
And John Stewart knows, and I don't think he's a political pawn here, John Stewart, by the way, is funding 9/11 Democrat or Republican? I'm trying to figure that part out. John Stewart knows, because of his celebrity, if he shows up with these 9/11 responders, it will get attention.
Well, no one else is, Scott.
He's leveraging his celebrity to get attention for a cause he truly believes in. And I say good on him.
And every year this comes up because Congress will say, well, we'll fund it for another year, or we'll do this or we'll do that. What he is saying is we want this funded, period. So
he wants it funded infinitum.
So that the survivors don't have to keep going back.
That's correct.
They have to go back every year and fight for every dime.
That is correct.
Which ticks him off. You know, these are people who don't have a private jet to get there. They keep having to go back and do this. And he's saying, why?
And just
fund it.
And let me point out to everyone listening, I want to be very clear here, because you're not going to see this on the news tonight. You're probably not going to read it in the paper, and if you do, it'll be on A3, small little snippet. I want you to understand, as these members of Congress didn't bother to show up for this hearing today, and by the way, John Stewart and 9/11 responders don't just show up. They have to be invited to speak, okay? They were invited by this committee. Anybody who speaks before a committee has to be invited.
So they were invited,
and then no one showed up. That's right.
It would be like you hosting a party and asking people to come to your home, and then you aren't there.
Right. And the party goes on. But let me point this out very clearly, because you will not see this in the paper tomorrow, and you probably won't see it on the news tonight. As they're struggling with how to fund hurricane crap and 9/11 stuff and all this other stuff, okay, the leading members of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, okay, are moving forward legislation as we speak tonight to give themselves a raise. Let that sink in. They won't tell you about it. You probably won't read about it because most people just don't care. But both parties, their leaders, are moving forward legislation tonight to give themselves a raise.
You can't make it up.
Just let that sink in.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.